In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
There is a line in the Seder meal of the youngest. The Seder was the Passover meal, which the Last Supper was surely a fulfillment of. The youngest has a line that says to the leader, perhaps John, the youngest disciple, said this to Jesus, "Why is this night different than all other nights?" And then they would start the story of the great Passover, the 10 plagues, the great deliverance, the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost, the angel of death passing over. And all of that, celebrated year after year at the command of the Lord, fulfilled by our Lord Jesus at his last Passover meal, the meal we are here to remember, which we believe we enter into. So let that blood not just be on the doorposts of our heart, on the doorposts of our houses, but on our very hearts, our minds, our lips. Let us now examine our conscience so that we might turn to Jesus, that he might lift us up and set us free. I confess.
To you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in my own fault, in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. And I ask the Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen.
Kyrie eleison,
Kyrie eleison,
Christe eleison,
Christe eleison,
Kyrie eleison,
Kyrie eleison.
Thank you.
us pray. God our Father, we are gathered here to share in the supper, which your only Son left to his church to reveal his love. He gave it to us when he was about to die and commanded us to celebrate it as the new and eternal sacrifice. We pray that in this Eucharist we may find the fullness of love and life. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall stand at the head of your calendar. You shall reckon it the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel, on the 10th of this month, every one of your families must procure for itself a lamb, one apiece for each household. If a family is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join the nearest household in procuring one and shall share in the lamb in proportion to the number of persons who partake of it. The lamb must be a year old male and without blemish. You may take it from either the sheep or the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, and then, with the whole assembly of Israel present, it shall be slaughtered during the evening twilight. They shall take some of its blood and apply it to the two doorposts and the lintel of every house in which they partake of the lamb. That same night they shall eat its roasted flesh with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. This is how you are to eat it: with your loins girt, sandals on your feet, and your staff in hand. You shall eat like those who are in flight. It is the Passover of the Lord. For on this same night I will go through Egypt, striking down every firstborn of the land, both man and beast, and executing judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I, the Lord. But the blood will mark the houses where you are. Seeing the blood, I will pass over you. Thus, when I strike the land of Egypt, no destructive blow will come upon you. This day shall be a memorial feast for you, which all your generations shall celebrate with pilgrimage to the Lord as a perpetual institution." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So, during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with a towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. "For this reason," he said, "not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at table again, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that, as I have done for you, you should also do." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The last two popes have drawn attention to important aspects of our faith by declaring a special year. In the recent past, we have had the year of the Eucharist. The year before last was the year of St. Paul the Apostle. And we are drawing near now to the end of the year of the
priest.
You're paying attention. We believe that in the celebration of Holy Thursday, in the celebration of the Last Supper, we are remembering the institution of two of the seven sacraments, the Holy Eucharist, and what's the other one?
Holy Orders.
Holy Orders. The institution of the Eucharist seems to dominate this celebration, as indeed it should. But this year, a special year of dedication to the priesthood that was instituted by Christ on the occasion we celebrate tonight. This year seems an appropriate occasion for a departure, to focus not on the Eucharist, but to focus our attention on the gift that God has given to his people through the priesthood. I'm a little reluctant to talk about the priesthood because it may appear to some that I'm only speaking, draw attention to myself. Kind of like, I'm a priest and you're not, so there. I can assure you that this possible perception of my intentions is a great deterrent, not a motivation to speak on the priesthood. But I, perhaps more than anyone here, have received grace upon grace, the hand of priest upon priest. Through the ministry of a priest, I was born again in baptism. I estimate that I received the Holy Eucharist 5,000 to 10,000 times before I was ordained at the age of 46. I cannot absolve my own sins, and I will not estimate that number. I cannot give myself the anointing of the sick, and I've had need of it on more than one occasion. When it comes to considering the gift of the priesthood, it has been and it always will be the case that I have received infinitely more than I could ever possibly give. In persona Christi, in persona Christi, in persona Christi, can you all repeat after me? In persona Christi. What does that mean? Gosh. I am with the superiorly intelligent. I don't remember anything being so frequently repeated to us in the seminary as in persona Christi. It means in the person of Christ, as most of you told me. It means that the priest acts in the person of Christ. Not, of course, in everything that a priest does, It's not the case that I act in the person of Christ all the time when I drive. Lord, have mercy on me. We are too familiar with priests, sometimes acting in ways that are directly opposite of what Christ would do. Priests are sinners. It is a requirement. But in his sacramental role, the priest acts in the person of Christ. In his call to participate in the ministry of Christ as priest, prophet, and king in ways that he sanctifies, teaches, and exercises authority as Christ would. He acts in the person of Christ. We believe that through the grace of the sacrament of holy orders, something happens to the very being of the ordained person. Something that nothing can ever undo or remove. Something about their very person is changed. Theological tradition calls this an ontological change, a change in being. We believe a similar change is made to the sacraments of baptism and confirmation. This ontological change, this change in being, is signified by the use of Holy Chrism. And it is why the sacraments marked by Holy Chrism, baptism, confirmation, and holy orders, can be received only once. They can be received only once because they change you forever. In baptism, we are recreated. We are made sons and daughters of God. We can surely forfeit our inheritance. But we can never unmake our identity. Our tradition teaches us that holy orders configures the receiving priest to Christ. A priest is changed in a spiritual way with a capacity to represent Christ in priestly ministry, especially in sacramental ministry. You don't know how completely I am aware, how absolutely preposterous and presumptuous it is for me on my own authority to declare to you that your sins are forgiven. I could contend with Paul in claiming to be the greatest of sinners. And yet, I say, I absolve you from your sins. Because we believe that I am acting in the person of Christ. Take this, all of you, and eat it. You hear me say it all the time. This is my body, which will be given up for you. Why does the priest say, "This is my body"? Because we believe that because the priest is acting in the person of Christ, it is really Christ who is saying it. Sacramental, we believe that it is Christ that is forgiving us, Christ that is feeding us, Christ that is touching us, Christ that is healing us. A priest is changed in his being to make Christ present. He acts in his name. We know we're all supposed to be Christ to one another. We're all part of his body. We all act in his name. We all are filled with his spirit. But we all cannot claim in his person to forgive sins or change bread and wine. We Catholics believe in matter, hearing words of absolution, bread and wine, unchanged in appearance, but changed in substance. Things like feeling the holy oil, like the touch of the Savior himself. We are not just spirits. We're physical bodies permeated with the Holy Spirit. And our physical senses experience physical realities that reveal spiritual realities. We hear the words of forgiveness. We taste the bread of heaven. We feel the oil that signifies the Spirit. The priest ministers the sacrament. The sacraments are the action of Jesus among us today, in ways that our senses perceive and faith reveals. The year of the priest is most fundamentally a year about Jesus Christ and how Jesus continues in our world to do what he did in his own flesh when he physically dwelt among us. On this most holy of nights, we believe that in giving us the Eucharist, Jesus did not give us just a commemoration or a remembering of that holy meal where the lamb that was sacrificed was not a lamb with legs of four. But this lamb was one like us in all things but sin. One like us, true man, but also one unlike us, true God. Note that I'm saying in giving us the Eucharist, it's not just a commemoration or a remembering. We believe that this is a participation, a making present in the here and now of that eternal sacrifice. This is not remembering like you remembered your last birthday or something truly fortunate like courtside seats for the seventh game of the last Pistons championship. Nice, but no more than a memory. We believe through the eyes of faith that Christ is here, doing here among us what he did among his disciples. Do you believe this? Can you see that this is what is happening? We teach that what we're doing right now is a participation in, a making present of the Last Supper, which we remember specifically on this special night. But not only in the Last Supper, but in the whole of his passion and death and resurrection. And this happened through God's calling and anointing a man to be changed in his very being, to be configured to Christ, to be changed by Christ. If we were dealing with computers, we might say reformatted by Christ, to be his hands and his voice and his heart to the world. In his letter proclaiming the year of the priest, Benedict linked this celebration, this year of the priest, to the 150th anniversary of St. John Vianney, the curé of Ars, the pastor-priest of the village of Ars in France, who is the patron saint of all priests. In his letter announcing this year of the priest, Pope Benedict frequently quotes St. John Vianney. To refresh your memory, this short, simple man was not a promising candidate for the priesthood. He was denied admission, I think, 7 times because they didn't think he was smart enough. He had trouble with Latin, not unlike Solanus Casey. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Both were outstanding in holiness. So they finally let him be ordained, but they sent him to this place where he figured he couldn't do much harm. I've been there. It's a crossroads in the middle of nowhere. And all that happened was that people from all over Europe flocked to this church. Lines were endless. You would hear confessions for 18 hours a day. The small church is crammed with crutches and wheelchairs and testimony to the miracles God worked through him. Pope Benedict quotes St. John Vianney saying, The priesthood is the love of the heart of Christ. St. John Vianney apparently said this all the time. It is hard for me to read the following quotation. It's humbling in ways you cannot imagine. I just remind you that it was written by the Pope, repeated by the Pope, and he's quoting a saint that's the patron saint of all priests, and whose anniversary was an inspiration for the year of the priest. Saint Benedict writes, "The Curia of Ars was very humble, yet as a priest he was conscious of being an immense gift to his people." Saint John Vianney says, "A good shepherd, a pastor after God's heart, is the greatest treasure which the good Lord can grant to a parish, and one of the most precious gifts of divine mercy." The Pope continues, "John Vianney spoke of the priesthood as if incapable of fathoming the grandeur of the gift and task entrusted to the human creature." St. John says, "How great is the priest? If he realized what he is, he would die. God obeys him. He utters a few words, and the Lord descends from heaven at his voice to be contained within a small host." The Pope writes, explaining to his parishioners the importance of the sacrament, the saint would say, "Without the sacrament of holy orders, we would not have the Lord. Who would put him in the tabernacle? Who put him there in the tabernacle? The priest. Who welcomed your soul at the beginning of your life? The priest. Who feeds your soul and gives it strength for its journey? The priest. Who will prepare it to appear before God, bathing it one last time in the blood of Jesus Christ? The priest. And if this soul should happen to die as a result of sin, who will raise it up and who will restore to it calm and peace? Again, the priest. Only in heaven will he fully realize what he is." The Pope says these words, welling up from the priestly heart of a holy pastor, might sound excessive, yet they reveal the high esteem in which this saint held the sacramental priesthood. He seemed overwhelmed by a boundless sense of responsibility. Yes, and my comment is responsibility, not entitlement. St. John says, "Were we fully to realize what a priest is on earth, we would die, not of fright, but of love. Without the priest, the passion and death of our Lord would be of no avail. It is the priest who continues the work of redemption on earth. What use would be a house filled with gold were there no one to open its door? The priest holds the key to the treasures of heaven. It is he who opens the door. He is the steward of the good Lord, the administrator of his goods. The priest is not a priest for himself. He's a priest for you." Unquote. Considering the gift God gives to us all in the priest, it is to honor the way that Christ himself is with us right now, at this moment, in the real stuff of our complicated, confused, and weary lives. Shortly we will leave this liturgy with solemnity and sorrow, and perhaps we will dare in the coming hours to take but a sip of that great cup of pain and abandonment that Jesus drained to the dregs. But now we remember that he fortifies us with a heavenly food for this special journey. He makes himself present to us in ways that we can feel and hear and touch and taste. As we are truly present at the Last Supper in these mysteries tonight, then it is surely Christ himself that acts through the priest in persona Christi. Lord, help us to see you acting through your priests. Help us not to see first the human limitations, the obvious sinful behavior, the lack of compassion, the apparent inadequacies. Help us to see you first. Help us to receive from you. Help us to be blessed by you. Help us to be changed by you. Help us to receive all that you wish to give us. For we need you. We cannot go with you in what lies ahead if we do not first receive what you offer to make us ready.